Liquor Talk, brand new episode starts right now. Welcome on, welcome everybody to another edition of the Liquor Talk podcast. I'm your man Victor. I'm recording right here in Florida, live from the Studio Max right here in Orlando, Florida. If you want to host your events here, if you need somewhere to record, come down to the Studio Max right here in Orlando. And also shout out to the radio station where Liquor Talk is on, WSXJ 97.3 Sunshine Jams. And also shout out to everybody that's pouring up with us, whether you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts at. I want to thank you all for checking out the Liquor Talk. Pour it up. Ladies and gentlemen, you really need to pour it up for our next guest. Coming out of Chi-Town, these ladies discuss everything to do with marriage on their podcast. It is Janelle. It is Mo. They're the ladies from the Is Marriage Worth It podcast. And you heard me on their episode on their last podcast as well. So I appreciate these ladies. And now they get to bless the Liquor Talk with their presence. How y'all doing, ladies? And welcome to Liquor Talk.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, I definitely appreciate y'all for having me. So it's perfect time. This is how podcasting should be. Y'all, I'll make an appearance on your podcast, and now y'all on with Liquor Talk. That's how podcasting should be.
Network.
Yes, networking. But only reason I say that is because I've shared this platform with so many different people, and those people hadn't returned the favor. But it is what it is. You know, we keep on moving. We keep rolling. We keep sipping, and we just keep it moving. So why don't y'all tell the people a little bit about your podcast, Is Marriage Worth It?
All right. So I'm Monique and my co-host Janelle. We started Is Marriage Worth It podcast 2 years ago from yesterday. We recorded our first episode 2 years ago. And our podcast is all about trying to figure out if marriage is something that either of us want to venture into or if it's something that is worth it. So we talk to people of all different backgrounds, whether you're single, married, engaged, divorced, widowed, in a throuple, just all of the above. We cover everything. We're willing to talk to everybody about relationships and marriage.
That's real. Now, are either one of you married?
Nope.
No.
Both single?
Yes.
Yep.
Wow. Two single ladies diverging into marriage. So what made y'all decide y'all want to come together and talk about this stuff? Because usually single women like to turn up in the club. They like to plan trips to Miami and stuff. So what made y'all come together and decide y'all want to do a podcast and try to determine if marriage is worth your time?
Well, Mo and I have known each other for most of our lives, and we've had quite a few friends get married, and we had had a few of those friends divorce, and we just kind of wondered what changed once you said I do. After the party that we all enjoyed, like what's next steps? Like, what is your life going? So we started the conversation with a family member of Mo's, and after we literally just went on Zoom and had a frank conversation about it. And after that, we were like, we could probably record this and maybe make a podcast. So that's what we did.
That's how it happened.
That's what's up. And 2 years later, y'all still pushing. Happy anniversary, ladies, by the way.
Thank you.
Not a lot of people can make it 2 years into podcasts. And so big ups to y'all for that. I hope y'all continue to keep it pushing. So what have y'all learned about marriage in the 2 years that y'all have been doing this podcast?
So for me, there's a lot more that goes into marriage than I thought. And one of the key things is being intentional, and then your communication level has to be like on par, not just, oh, I talk to you every day, but you have to learn to communicate with your person when you think you're communicating with them, how we're talking, but you have to explain what you mean because people aren't mind readers.
Absolutely. And we learned that like the duration before you got married doesn't necessarily mean how long your marriage will be. We've had people who got married very quickly after meeting each other and have lasted years. And we've had people who knew each other for a while and then got married and then divorced not too long afterwards. So the duration of your relationship doesn't necessarily say what your like odds of making it is going to be. So I just think that we just learned that not every relationship is the same, and you literally cannot just like see somebody else's marriage and just be like, oh, they must be perfect, they have it all together, because you don't know what's happening behind closed doors.
That
and sometimes no it's formula. Just really boring.
Exactly. There's no formula for marriage, which is what I thought when we started this. I was like, okay, I'll take notes, I'll check off this, 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 and then I could probably get myself married. I'm ready. And then we started listening to people's stories, and I'm just like, well, that all goes out the window. This person said this works for them. And then somebody else would be like, this isn't what we do. This is what we do. And so it's just been so many different stories of it's to each their own.
Absolutely.
Yes, I definitely agree that it's definitely to each their own, but also you can learn little things that you can maybe apply to make yourself better, or, you know, so now how has that affected you guys in choosing your next partners and whoever you like think about getting married to? Like, how has doing the podcast affected your dating lives and stuff? Are y'all moving more intentional, or how has it been for y'all?
So from doing the podcast, I've kind of taken a step back because I'm on the fence on if I want to get married or not. So it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to jump into a relationship if I know the guy's intentions are like leading towards marriage, because I don't want to do that to somebody. So if I don't know what I necessarily want at the end of the day, I'm not going to hop right into a relationship. So I've just been living the single life, getting to know myself a little bit better.
Absolutely. I think I have been more intentional about what I'm looking for. Like, I can't say, oh, I'm open to dating, and then not do anything to promote dating. So when we first started the podcast, we were still really early into the pandemic. So it wasn't like a lot of going out. So you're hearing a lot of these stories, but I personally couldn't put anything into practice. And as we're coming out of that, with every year, I just realized that I kind of like going outside, but not really being outside. So when I'm outside, I am open to conversations and meeting somebody, but I am very selective of when I go outside and where I go outside.
I feel you. I think the pandemic then did that to all of us, where we're all very selective of when we go outside and stuff. So I can definitely see that. And, you know, so, sorry, y'all, I'm having brain farts. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. If you don't know, now you know. So what's something about marriage you didn't know before you started doing this podcast, besides the fact that it's a lot of work?
Well, first of all, it's not hard work. Like, it does take work is what we've learned. And I've always assumed that, oh, marriage is hard. Marriage is hard. You have to work. Yes, you have to work. But if it's something that you want to work at, it's not going to be hard work. Like, sometimes you go to your job, that's work. Sometimes it's not hard. You're just there and putting in the effort to do it. So when I take that and apply it to marriage, I'm just like, oh, that kind of takes some of the bad things out of what I thought marriage was.
Absolutely. And I also think, similar to what Mo said, it's not hard work. And I think just being honest with your partner and having conversations prior to marriage really gets both of you in the mindset of what happens after marriage. So you can't go into a marriage. We had one guest there. They never spoke of it, but once they got married, her husband was like, oh, well, now we need to host dinner parties. They never did dinner parties before, but in his mind, that's what married people did, was host dinner parties. And so she went along with it, but eventually it got to the point where they both enjoyed the activity, but they sat down and were like, okay, we can make marriage what we want it to be. It doesn't have to be what we've seen. And so I just think that there's like a lot more intentional conversations prior to marriage that needs to happen.
Yes. And do you feel like people avoid the tough conversations, and then once they have the tough conversations, you realize that this person ain't they're not, you know, y'all not meant to be together, you know, because I guess what I'm trying to say is, why do people avoid the tough conversations then? Because I know there's some people that all of a sudden they want to get married and then to try to keep up with the Joneses and then to do the social media thing. Like, what do you think about those people?
So it's exactly what you're saying. It's you avoid those conversations because there's something inside of you usually that you know right off the bat that, okay, we may or may not be compatible. But if I really want to get married and I have an inkling that we're not compatible, I'm going to avoid the subject because if I avoid it, we're going to get to the altar. Like if we don't talk about it, we'll get to the altar. Once we say I do and like those problems come up, I don't know, like we may have to get a divorce or we're going to have problems. But if you avoid it, you'll make it to the altar. Most people don't want to have the tough conversations because it can be awkward, but you have to know, well, you have to know when to have them. Like, mm-hmm. Are you having them on the first date? Like, hey, we just met, but this is what I expect. Or are you waiting 1 year in, a couple of months in? It also depends on when you're having the conversation.
Absolutely. I also think that sometimes it's a small percentage, but I think there is a percentage of people that can lie for a long time and they can lie about what they're okay with and then, or what they're willing to do. And after you sign the paperwork and say, I do, that's when their lie comes, like that falls apart and they're suddenly not the person that you were with before. So I do think that there is like a small percentage of people that like do get duped in. And so they thought they had this great person the whole time. And then all of a sudden that person's not doing the things that they were doing before, or they're making crazy life changes without taking you into consideration.
Yeah. Yeah. I found that out as well. And I've also observed couples that say that their partner just changed overnight. And I find the older I get, and like I said, as y'all will know from the episode I did with y'all, I'm single as single can get. You know, I find the older you get, you're more willing to have the tough conversations to not have your time being wasted, because it's like you're not getting any younger and you do want to meet people, but you want to meet that right person. If you got to have the tough conversations to weed them out, then all for it, you know?
Yeah.
And then people do. So the thing is, people change. Like, that's a fact. People change. But as a person, you have to realize that people do change. So sometimes you'll get into a relationship, and then when that person starts changing, even maybe for the better for themselves, you don't like it. Or you see us like, oh, are they leaving me behind? Things like that. And we don't mm-hmm. want them to change. And so when they do change, it's just like, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to change with you? Do I rope you back in? So when things change, that's when people don't know how to figure out, okay, where do we go from here? Because I'm stuck in the past. I'm stuck with the past you that I knew. How do I get to know this new you? I don't think we accept change very well.
I don't think anybody accepts change really well, because like, for example, I know when going into like content creation and stuff, people wonder why certain people from their hometowns don't really support them and stuff. It's like, because people in your city, they're used to a certain way. They're used to a certain version of you. They're not used to this version of you trying to evolve. So I do get that part. But I know for me, it's like, why do people just, I guess another question I'm really wondering is, why do people just stay in one, just rather be stagnant than change, than to grow up with the person? And if y'all change together, I mean, that'll bring y'all closer, right? Should be.
But to change together, you have to be changing in the same way. And I don't think everybody always does that. Mm. And I think sometimes you're so used to, let's say it's a heterosexual relationship, and the woman who has always been stay at home, does cleaning and cooking and all that stuff, decides that she wants to go back to school and pursue a dream career. well, if she's back in school, that means she can't do all the things that she was doing before because she also has schoolwork to do. And so if her male partner isn't ready to start taking on some of those responsibilities because there has been a change in the household, you're going to have conflict. And so you, sometimes people are changing in different directions, but if it's comfortable for one, for us not to have changed, you're obviously going to have some, you know, pushback.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing. It's all about people being comfortable. Like when you're in a relationship, you have to look out for yourself, but you also have to be thinking of your partner. But we're human beings. We're going to be selfish. Let's just be real.
Yes, yes.
So the thing is, you're looking for your best comfort, and kind of like Janelle's scenario, like, is the male partner really going to be comfortable if his wife decides, you know, all right, we're having this conversation. I want to go back to school. I want to, you know, will you be comfortable doing this? If he's not, like she said, like there's going to be talks about it, and then there's your chance. Are you guys going to grow together, figure out this new way of life, or are you going to hold her back?
And you know what? And I said for me, like, if I'm with somebody, I'm going to push them to go for their dreams. I'm pushing them to go for their vision. Like, and I realized this in watching Snowfall. I don't know if y'all watched Snowfall, but when Jerome died, everybody said that, I kept seeing this post on social media. Like, when you choose a partner, you can either choose someone that will help you with, your rise or help you with your downfall. So it's like, I really feel like people got to find a way to choose the right partner, even though it's tough out here. I'm not even going to lie. It's a challenge.
But then that's the thing. How do you know it's the right person? Like everybody always says, yeah, make sure you choose the right person. Make sure you choose the right person. There have been people that have been married that thought their person was the right person, and yeah, then they get divorced. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, so was that your right person? Or exactly, I don't know.
No, it's going to be the person that they say, okay, I fucked up, you know? So I respect a person that gets married and then gets divorced and just said, okay, I fucked up. I really respect it, you know? So I ain't gonna lie. When my mother told me when she fucked up when her first husband, I'm like, okay, mom, I can respect you for saying that, you know? So props to mom for admitting she was wrong about her first marriage, you know? It is what it is. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. The more you drink, the better we sound. So pull up that liquor and continue to enjoy this great conversation we have with the ladies from the Is Marriage Worth It podcast. And remember, listen to your Uncle V. If the bartender don't drink, don't buy that drink from them. And continue to tune in, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts at. So tell me, ladies, a little something about y'all. What's y'all favorite type of liquor?
So what's funny is I'm a bartender and I don't drink.
Oh, damn. Listen, I quoted a Kanye West song.
Okay? I know, but it was just funny. I was like, well, yeah, so I am a bartender part-time, but yeah, I don't drink.
I'll get a drink from you, all right?
I'm very friendly. I'm a great bartender. I make great drinks, okay? Don't judge me.
I don't know if I have a preference. I like cocktails, so any mixed drink I'm usually down for.
Oh, damn, mixed drink. So I guess at your dream weddings, would y'all want to go to a wedding that has an open bar? Because I see this a lot. Everybody talking about, oh, I'm only going to the wedding if it's an open bar. Like, would y'all want to go to a wedding that's not open bar, or what y'all think?
So I've been to wedding. I've been to both types of weddings with an open bar, and I've been to weddings that have a cash bar, and I've been to weddings that have no bars at all. I personally think that it's selfish to say you'll only go to a wedding if it has an open bar, because that's a lot of money. Like, you're asking a couple to random, like, for one night only to be the owners of a bar, and you can take as much as you want. I just think that's reckless, and I don't know. I mean, I appreciate every open bar, or even if it has like a couple hours of unlimited and then after a certain time you have to pay. But I'm willing to go to, I like weddings, so I just will go to a wedding. Mm-hmm. I'd probably have it small, My dream wedding is a small wedding, and so like whatever liquor is there, you can make your own drink, but I'm not really trying to
break the bank.
Now, Mo, have you ever had to work a wedding? Like, how was that experience for you?
Yeah, so I have had to work a wedding, and the way that it was done was the bride and the groom decided that cocktail hour and then the first hour of the reception was an open bar. And so the lines for that, it gets packed and it gets crazy because people are just trying to like, there's a time limit. So people are like, gotta get my drinks in. So you have people that get messed up very, very quickly. And it's one of those things where it's like, I know you guys are trying to have a good time, but at the same time, I'm not trying to lose my job if I get you like super intoxicated.
Absolutely.
So it's one of those things where it's like being a bartender, you have to be conscious of what you're doing, how much you're serving, trying to remember faces, trying to have conversations to make sure that you're not serving somebody that's already intoxicated. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of pressure at an open bar wedding. And then when the cash bar opens, like it slows down a little bit, but you still get those old uncles. Like, take my money, pour me another. It's the old uncles that just got money to spend. It's like, tips are good though. Mm. I will say tips at an open bar are a lot better than a cash bar.
That's what's up. So another thing, what's it like going to a wedding as a single person? Because I know for me, like when I had to go to a wedding as a single man, I'm like, this blows, you know, because like, you know, you're looking at everybody and the ones that really suck are the ones where you got to deal with your family, like, well, when are you getting married? When are you going to meet somebody? So what do y'all think? Do y'all feel my pain or what y'all think?
So I would say I don't necessarily feel that pain because it depends on the type of wedding that you're going to. Usually the weddings that I attend, I've known these people for a long time or they're college friends. So the people that I've known for a long time, I know most of the guests at their wedding.
Same.
And I can just have a conversation and it's not like, oh, I'm talking to a married couple and I'm single, or oh, I'm at a table with a whole bunch of married couples. Like, I don't see that and I don't feel like, oh, I'm missing a date or I'm missing like somebody to be there with me because I can have a conversation. And then with college friends, when they got married, a lot of my college friends that attended that wedding, they were also single. So it wasn't like, oh, everybody's booed up, paired off, I'm a third wheel. So I've never felt that at weddings. I'm just there to have a good time. When the dance floor opens, you can find me on the dance floor all night. That's about it.
I was going to say the same. I go to weddings for the enjoyment of the dance floor and celebrating the love of the couple. I'm not going there looking for a partner. So I never feel any pressure about that. Usually going up to weddings, my family and I might joke, oh, who do you think is going to be next? Depending on how long we've known the couple. And so that's always, I always take that in good humor. Nobody in my family is too, oh, you should be married soon. What are you doing to get married? Da, 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 da. So I've never really had stress when it comes to weddings. I have fun. Sometimes it'd be nice to go to more weddings that have more single people with the intention of meeting somebody single, but I usually just go with the intention to dance.
That's real. That's, you know, I wish y'all would have told me that like years ago, back when I went to the last wedding, which was one of my family's wedding. And, you know, I had to hear it from the family. They were like, oh, when are you going to get married? When are you going to meet somebody? You know, it's like, family, I love y'all, but I'm trying to build an empire here, you know. So
I don't even think my family questions it anymore. Like, they're just like, this is just Monique being Monique. If love happens to fall in her lap, or if she decides to tell us that she's married like a year after she's married, I was like, I don't know why they think that I'd be the person to just go off and get married and then come back and be like, hey, y'all, I'm celebrating my 1 year anniversary.
Be like the coldest thing. You're just like, well, I've been married a year, might as well tell everybody, make it official.
That's just what people think.
So, Which leads me into something I did want to ask y'all. So what happens with the podcast if one or the both of y'all get married? Like, what are y'all going to say now once one or both of y'all get married?
I guess it would kind of like fizzle out.
I don't know. I think it's kind of depending on, you know, how big the podcast got and where we are in life. Because I think as somebody who still does want to get married, I can't say that marriage is worth it if I just got married.
So yes, it would be like, we'd have to do a special episode a year later. Came back together to say,
very much would have like a reunion 1 year in. How's marriage? Definitely would do a special, but I don't think us getting married would necessarily be the end of the podcast, because the podcast question is so open-ended that we can end it whenever, before we get married, after we're married, for many decades even. I think it's just kind of a good question to ask.
Yeah, that's definitely a good question to ask. So have y'all had this conversation amongst yourselves? So based on your conversations, who do you think will get married first? Which one y'all think who will get married first?
Funny enough, I think Mo would get married first, but I don't think she wants to be married. I think she's, and I am applauding her, I think she's slowly coming to like the realization that like, no, really, she's not going to get married. But I still think she
would end up just being married. That's the thing. I'd be that person, be like, I just went ahead and did a thing.
I just did it. That's why we think she'll get married without telling anybody.
You know, I can feel that. And also, I know feeling for myself, like, if I just got married, I might just be like, fuck it, I just did it, you know? Because you never know, because, you know, your family, they'll be trying to inspect the person. Your friends gonna be trying to figure out who it was, you know? So,
oh, no, I've always had big dreams of that. Like, absolutely not am I going to be with somebody who has not been interrogated in at least 4 different states and Canada. Like, I have people that you need to meet. Unfortunately, like, one of my uncles passed away in 2021, and I was so sad that he won't get to invest, like, you know, give an interview and investigate my guy, because that's just how I've always, like, I'll take the interview too. It's not just one-sided, but I definitely am like, no, you need to be interrogated. I need to make sure that everybody agrees that you're good for me.
And then I think for me, not necessarily having to have people interrogate them, or like, I'd probably just start bringing somebody around just to get a feel of how they fit into my life. Because the thing is, when I make friends for life. So if you can't support my friendships, or you don't get along with my friends, like, that might be a little bit of an issue. And then I'm a family oriented person, so when it comes to family, like, if you're not gonna fit into my family, it's just not gonna work, because I am family oriented.
Mm-hmm. That's real. I get that. Now, how are you all preparing to deal with this man's family? Like, what are you guys, what's your best sales pitch to his mom, or to his sister, or to his homegirls he's known for years, or to his people that he's known for years?
Hi, I'm me. I won't disrespect your relationship with him, but I also ask that you respect that I am now in a relationship with him. And if we are married, we are now our first families. We are the priority family that we need to be taking care of. So I think it's just getting to know his family and deciding, are these traits the traits that you want to go to holiday dinners with and will be connected to for the rest of your life, regardless of you having children or not. So I definitely am the type of person who, while I'm not as like closely knit as a family unit as most, is family is also very important to me. And so if I didn't feel that I could respect your mother, or your mother could respect me, I don't think I would go through with it.
Respect.
If your parents don't like me, like, I'm not going to be fighting the rest of my life. Like, if you and your mom have whatever, and y'all just like, oh, but this girl, blah, 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 like, I'm out. Like, I'm not going to try to come in between if you and your mom want to talk bad about me. If you can't stand up to your mom about me, like, it's not worth the headache of me trying to be number one.
Absolutely. Like, you hear stories of old girlfriends being really tight with the family, and I'm cool with that. You have friends before me. But if I feel disrespected, like, I'm not getting invited to things that this girl, ex-girlfriend is being invited to, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm also very cool with being single. I want to be married, but I don't need to be married. So I'm also in a really, like, interesting place where if I feel disrespected, I'm just not going to do it. I don't.
And you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Nobody should feel disrespected. Like, if a woman can't stand up to her dad for me, if I'm about to throw hands with her dad over something minuscule or something that ain't even worth fighting over, I'm out, you know? I'm not about to sit here and fight with your dad, you know? I'll have respect, you know, so I'm going to respect the family, but they better be respecting me as well. We know. I'm not going to do that because I know family is not going to go anywhere. So you can replace me, but, you know, family is not going to go anywhere. But now, speaking of family, what did you all learn from your families growing up when it comes to marriage and relationships?
So my parents are divorced. So I learned that you don't put the children over the marriage. Like, don't stay together for the kids, because the kids will be miserable. They want you to divorce too.
Dang, it was that bad?
I mean, bad is hard to explain, because I had a very happy childhood. I know both my parents love their children. They just didn't love each other at the end, and it sucked. So I'm happy that both of them are super happy now. And that's what I always wanted for my parents.
Wow. Mo, do you want to add on to that? How was your family experience? I hope it was a little bit better, about the same. What do you think?
So, yeah, no. So I had a good role model of marriage. My parents were married for 35 years, wow, I believe, before my dad passed away. And so it was a marriage of till death do us part. And so my mom is widowed, and she doesn't plan on dating and doesn't plan on getting remarried, because her three grown children have told her, yeah, we're not about that. Like, you have us, we're enough for you. But all jokes aside, but their marriage to me, like, they're just two people that loved each other, that looked out for their kids, and they weren't affectionate. And so that might be a thing of where I'm just like, where I get my don't touch me. like, because maybe I didn't see that growing up, but I didn't think that that's what a relationship had to have. They were more like words of affirmation or acts of service. I always saw my dad do things for my mom, and my mom would do things for my dad, and it wasn't just the touchy-feely stuff. So I don't subscribe to all of that all the time. And then my siblings are both, I have two older siblings. They're both married and they both have children. And so sometimes the thing is like, okay, Monique, what happened to you? Like, both your siblings got married out of college. They found the person in college, had children, had two kids, going on a third kid. And then there's Monique, just single and childless. I'm just like, that's just me. I'm just the fun aunt. Let me live life.
No, I feel you on that. I feel you. Like, let me be the fun aunt, or let me be the fun uncle, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's like, I can respect that, you know. I can also respect the fact that your mom just stay grounded, you know, stay loyal to your father. And I'm like, I do apologize for your loss, because I know it's like every girl, they dream of having their dad walk them down the aisle when it comes to marriage. So I do send my condolences to you. As for my take on what I saw marriage, it's like, I witnessed my mother get divorced twice. The first time, I think we're all rooting for it because, you know, the person was just not good for her, you know. He wasn't good for her, and it was a stepdad role. It's just, you know, it was just a toxic relationship. So I'm the one that was raised by the single parent. And then the second time she got married, I was in college, and this one we were rooting for. You think everything is going good, but then you hear some mess that goes on, and then you're like, wow. So now I'm just like, but I've seen other people in my family still, I've had aunts and uncles that have still been together for like 30, 40 years. I've seen it happen in my family, but my family is like a mixed bag, if you will. I got a lot of people that stayed together, and I had some that just did the single thing, so. And also, I can tell Mo's love language would not be physical touch, so you kind of gave that away.
Yeah, that's like the last one. I think the first time I took it, it was just like at a one. And then over time, like the first time when I became a bartender, so my coworkers are the touchy-feely, like, friendship type. And most people know me enough to, like, you don't come near me. Don't come with me arms wide open. And so, like, I got cool with my coworkers, and, like, the first time I met them, we were all, like, getting ready to leave. And, like, they did this thing where they just go in for, like, hugs, and I didn't know what to do. I'm just like, first of all, I don't know you. Why are you touching me? And then, like, when people openly saying the words, I love you, was really hard. And was really hard for me because, like, why do I have to say it? And so, like, my coworkers would be like, oh, I love you. And I'm just like, vice versa. Like, they're just like, wait, what? And I'm just like, sure, the feeling is mutual. I just don't say
it. Wait, was this after the first night of work? Or
no. So the I love you thing came later on when we became, like, more than just coworkers. We were friends and stuff. But the hugging thing was, like, after the first time we all worked together. That's just how they say goodbye. Just like, oh, bye, see you later. And I'm just like, okay. But I can accept hugs and stuff now. It's gotten a little bit better.
That's real. That's what's up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Liquor Talk. I don't know if y'all watch basketball, but shout out to Florida Atlantic. They going to the Final Four, so shout out to them. One time for them, one time for the Owls. A school out of Boca Raton, which not a lot of people knew, you know, outside of Florida, you know. So shout out to them. I'm recording, and then my phone notified me as well. So, but anyway,
shout out to South Carolina women's. We're going all the way.
Yeah, shout out to the Gamecocks. Shout out to them too. Shout out to Dawn Staley. And shout out to all the beautiful black women that I see coaching in women's basketball. I see a lot of them. I'm like, God damn, they're beautiful. You know, I'm rooting for y'all to win. I'm rooting for the black coaches to win, y'all. But getting back to your latest episode, episode 64, which was I Don't Want to Be Your Friend. Now, when I tell you I can kind of relate to this, I could definitely relate to this because, like, I've seen both sides of it. You know, I've seen people that were friends that their relationship lasted a long time. I've seen people that were friends that didn't decide to get married. Their relationship ended quicker than you could say Omaha, you know. And then I've had personal experiences with the friend zone. So how did y'all feel after recording that episode about friends?
So with that one, it was the guy, and he made it clear to, well, his now wife, that back then that's all she was looking for. Is she was not intentionally, but that's where it was going, was just like, oh, I'm not really looking for a relationship type of thing. We can be friends. But the thing is, he wasn't going to settle for that. He was laying his cards out on the table, letting her know that, hey, if we're going to start talking and things like that, I'm looking for more than just friendship. And so he kind of maneuvered his way before he became friend zone. And so they're now 2 years in, happily married with a child.
Wow. So
I also think you have to be honest. Like, he was upfront in the beginning that he didn't want to be her friend. He wanted to be her partner. And so I think that we have a lot of people who say they get friend zoned, but never actually had the conversation. Like we were talking in the beginning of the podcast, like, were you, I don't think you get friend zoned until you're told, I would rather just keep you in this box than to pursue anything further. And then you also have the choice to walk away if you don't want that friendship. But staying and being friends means you want to be this person's friend.
Yeah, I do understand that. I've had a number of people that hit me with that friend zone. I just flat out walked away because it's like, at that time, you get tired of hearing it. You get tired of hearing, oh, you're only good enough to be the friend zone. But yet, I'll still see some of them same people complaining on social media about, oh, where are the men at? Where is this at? I'm like, you know what? Miss me with that bullshit. I don't know. Like, do y'all feel like people put the wrong people in the friend zone?
I can't really say yes, because I don't know why people put other people in the friend zone. So if you, like for me, if I were to put somebody in the friend zone, they're going in there for a reason. That's all I can say. I can't say, oh no, they would have been perfect together. I'm not in this person's head. They did it for a reason. And sometimes if you end up in the friend zone, it's not a death sentence of just being friends. You could climb your way back out. It's maybe just at that point in time, maybe they can only handle a friend. And if you're still there, they may start seeing you as more than a friend.
Now, if I would have heard that, then we could have worked something out. But, you know, but it is what it is.
But you didn't want to be her friend. You wanted to be her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Way, which I think is the smarter thing to do than to just be there and be like, well, I could be the one, but maybe you're not her type.
True. That's true.
I'm not every guy's friend. Like, I personally don't believe in the friend zone because I don't think people have to like me. So if I have a crush on a guy and I'm not getting what I think of as moving forward, I don't think I've been friend zoned. I just don't think I'm that person's type. And so I have to make the decision. Do I want to be this person's friend or do I want to walk away? And most of the time, I can just be this person's friend because I don't need them to like me and I can just move those feelings somewhere else. It's not a death sentence to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I definitely feel all of that. Speaking of death sentences, I fell out laughing. I heard this term, like, damn, sticking with somebody for 8 to 10 years is a death sentence. So, like, but yet you see a lot of celebrity couples that have been together for 30 and 40 years. I'm like, how is 8 to 10 years the death sentence, a prison sentence?
I think it's a prison sentence if someone is intentionally stringing you along. I think there's a lot of celebrity couples that people want them to marry. They're like, oh, you guys have been together for so long. I had a couple in my head, but I can't remember both people's names, so I'm not going to embarrass myself like that. But there are couples out there who have just like had those conversations probably very early on. It's like, do you ever want to move this to marriage? And if the other person's like, no, would this be okay? And they're like, yeah, they just stay together for forever. And so we as a society are just like, but if you've been with somebody so long, you need to marry them eventually.
Yeah.
It's only a death sentence if one of them wants to be married and the other one is just dragging on as to why they can't be married yet.
And then the 8 to 10 sounds like a prison sentence. That episode, the meaning of that title isn't what it actually sounds like. They don't believe their marriage is like that. It's just when usually we ask a couple, how long have they been married? You get one number. Like, you're supposed to know how long you've been married. But the guy was just like, sometimes I'll just say 8 to 10. And it's like, so how many years is it actually? He's like, well, it just feels like 8 to 10. And so his wife was just like, man, now you're making it sound like a prison sentence. And so it wasn't that they think of marriage like a prison sentence. It was just the way he answers people when they ask. It sounds like he's giving that he's been sentenced. but they have a great relationship from talking to them. They're hilarious. And I think that's one thing, like, if I were to ever get married or the person that I'm with has to have a sense of humor that either matches mine, or we have to be able to laugh together, because I love joking around, I love laughing. If you're going to be serious all the time, we're not going to work.
Yes, I agree with that, because I dated somebody that was like that, that was always didn't know how to take a joke or something like that. Like, if I joke around on social media, they didn't know how to reciprocate that energy. And it's like, nah, I'm not about to be handcuffed by you. You don't have no goddamn sense of humor. Goddamn. Yeah, life is too short for you to be all miserable and stuff and all serious and stuck up. Laugh, motherfucker. Shit. So?
I like to laugh, but I don't like pranks. I think pranks would be a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I ain't with the pranks. I'm with the cracking jokes we talking about today and just roasting people, but don't be pulling no goddamn practical jokes on me. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Look and Talk. If you don't know, now you know. Remember, the more you drink, the better I sound. I remember, y'all, we sound a whole lot better with some liquor, y'all. And we here with the ladies of the marriage. Is marriage worth it, y'all? So what do y'all think about today's generation? Do y'all see people that are capable of being married, or is just everybody's this generation is just no hope?
I think it's split down the middle. Like, it depends on where you're looking. Like, sometimes you can just say, you can look to your right, you see people that are ready for marriage, that are doing what they need, that are getting married. And then you look to your left, and you see everybody that's not trying to be in a committed relationship, or they want to. There's so, with the internet and online dating and just everything, there's so many options. And so the thing is, with commitment, people aren't trying to, not necessarily buy, choose the first thing. And so when they do maybe stumble upon something that looks great, marks all the checkbox and things like that, you kind of go, but can I find better? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a thing of, this person is perfect, but is there a more perfect? I think it's that looming, oh, if I choose this person, I may be missing out on my correct Mr. Right. Yeah, I found Mr. Right, but maybe there's a more perfect Mr. Right.
Absolutely. I think that with the dawn of the internet, there is so many more options to people that I think everybody has the fear of missing out and the fear of missing the one by staying with somebody who might feel comfortable, but everybody's thinking that it's supposed to be passionate all the time, but too much, like, your body can't handle passion all of the time. It will eventually die out. And so then they don't know what relationships could look like that last long time that isn't on TV, like movies and television. That's not all the time. Like, it's literally just a period of time in which two people were directed as to how to act, so that when people are behind the scenes, they don't know what they're supposed to do. They've just seen, oh, I've seen these people either on social media, on TV, on movies, do this. Why don't you do that? And like, why don't you have the time to do everything? Because while everybody technically has the same 24 hours, it's not broken the same.
Mm-hmm. That and with that, also, when you go on social media and you see, social media is all about people's highlights. Like, when you look at people's marriages and stuff, when they're posting, oh, this is what I did with my husband, this is what we're doing as a family, you're seeing the highlights of what they want you to see. And behind closed doors, you never know what's going on. Mm-mm. And so on our podcast, when we ask people the question of, what does an average day of marriage, like, what does a day in your marriage look like? Sometimes people are just like, go to work, we come home, cook dinner, watch a TV show together, and then we go to bed. Like, it's just normal life with somebody else. It's not always, oh, this is what we did. We did X, Y, and Z, and it was amazing. It's just a normal day, just spending it with the person you're married with. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget, I think we tend to forget that marriage isn't just not a fun ride. That sounds really bad. It's not just all the ups. Like, yeah, it could just be flatline, just chilling.
Yeah. And you get some people that be okay with that, you know what I'm saying? Just having a day of just chilling. But also, one thing that I did talk to somebody who's married, they did mention this. They were like, sometimes marriage is knowing you're with someone who's going to love you, even though you might be wrong, or they love you enough to even when you make mistakes. So, and nowadays, it's kind of hard to find, because you get a lot of people, as soon as you make the first mistake, they talk to the ex or they talk to the side person. And also, you got a lot of people in this generation who would rather be the side person. I'm like, which I don't get that, but you know. But I don't know. What y'all think?
Honestly, I don't know why people would choose that. That's not the life I could choose. Like, to each their own. If it works, if there are certain perks for you, it might just have being able to have somebody without having to have all the, not pressure, but responsibilities of being the main person. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I guess you don't know either, Janelle.
I mean, I can't see it for myself, but I can see the appeal. But that's one of the issues, is when you're the side, you only get the exciting fun parts. And yeah, you don't get them all the time, but when you get them, it gets to be, oh, we're always doing trips, or we're always doing something, because you have to value the time that you're together. When you're with somebody who, when you're actually with in a committed relationship, you have more boring days, more just mundane days. And I think when people conflate relationships having to be passionate, having to be exciting, instead of it can be exciting and it can be passionate, but it's usually just every day, people think that, oh, maybe I'm not in the right relationship, or they just fear that they're missing out, or I don't know, they think their dick is big enough. It's just one of those things that I'm just like, you're just wasting everybody else's time, because you were supposed to be committed and now you're just stringing two people along. I always blame the person who's cheating. I side-eye the side person, but they weren't in a relationship to be cheating on somebody. Mm-hmm. So, like, as much as I can side-eye them, they technically just did what was beneficial to them, and everybody's going to do that. It's human nature.
Yeah, that's definitely human nature. I definitely feel you on that. And I kind of side-eye both people. I'm like, you know, you're cheating on this person, and you got a loyal person, even though days might be boring, it might be mundane. You got somebody that's loyal, that's, you know, that's somebody that's going to ride with you, that's somebody that's going to do for you. You're going to give all the, you're going to risk all that for a couple of minutes of excitement, man. Get out of here with that. Now, there was some kind of crazy situation I saw on a talk show, which they talked about, somebody really pitched the idea of being married, but having two different households. Did y'all see that? And would y'all agree to something like that? Because I find that crazy. I find that to be a waste of money.
I don't know if I've seen maybe the talk show that you were talking about, but I have seen that circulating around, where it's just like a new thing where people are living in separate households. And the thing is, if you set up whatever, we'll call it boundaries, if you set up the boundaries of what it means, it can work. Like, there are people that live in the same house and don't sleep in the same bedroom because maybe somebody snores too loud or for whatever reasons, but they still have a great marriage just because they don't sleep in the same bed. If you want to come over and have a sleepover in my bedroom, come through, but maybe I just prefer the whole bed to myself.
Now, that kind of depends on the relationship, because I think when people, oh, how could you be in two separate households? That's the military. Like, when people are in deployment, you're living in two separate places, having a whole relationship.
And then people have jobs that move them. So it might, instead of up, and depends on if they have family. Like, if maybe you don't want to uproot whatever's going on and you go off and you have another house because you're working out there. I don't know if it's like, oh, we have two separate households like across the street. Like that seems a little odd to me.
Yeah.
Like if it's that close, like, oh, we're next door neighbors. Like I get two separate households. I get that. But like next door neighbor type of thing, then I'd probably start to question like why.
Yeah, I'll definitely start to question why too. Like, why would you guys build a... Now, what I can foresee is like having a big house and she have her part, I have my part, and we come together whenever, you know what I'm saying? I can foresee that. But having two separate households in the same city or on the same block, that's doing a little too much when we should be thinking about building together and putting our resources together to build something great for ourselves and for any other kids we may have. But ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is Look and Talk. Remember, go ahead and subscribe if you haven't done so already. All right, ladies. So talk to me about what have y'all learned so far during season 5 of y'all podcast?
I feel like everybody thinks we're going to get like new huge lessons every season. And maybe if we curated to like bigger marriage topics, we could get that. But I think like marriage, it stays pretty consistent that like no marriage is the same and communication truly is the key. And when people say communication, it's as mundane as, okay, I like having the garbage bags placed here for this reason. And you always place them there. You always buy the same brand or whatever, to the big things as to one of us could be, you know, ill and like, how are we going to maneuver through illness together? So I think every season is just reinforcing the same topics, to me at least.
No, I'd have to agree with that. And something with season 5, we've kind of had, usually we do have married people, but they're usually coming on without their partner. But this season, we've had a lot more couples come on and talk to us. And so one thing that I like to do is I like to watch the couples when they're talking. Mm-hmm. And the way that they interact is something that, not that I've learned, but it's just that I've noticed from talking to the couples, is when you can see the look of love between the two when they're talking to each other, that speaks a lot louder than the words that they're actually saying. Like, it's not just a robotic, this is how we're going to answer these questions, mm-hmm. better be on the same page, but they're just letting each other just freely talk, and they'll jump in here or there, and it's watching people with their best friends. I think that's something that season 5 is taught me, is when you're looking for your person, look for that person that at the end of the day is built on friendship. Absolutely. Like somebody that you just want to tell the things to, somebody that you can go and run and tell about some random thing that happened, like, hey, you won't believe, like, this guy at work got super wasted and we had to call the cops. Like somebody that you just want to tell these random stories to, mm-hmm. and that'll sit there and listen to you. Just a good friend.
Mm-hmm. That's real. Now, like y'all always ask at the end of y'all podcast, I don't know if somebody's ever asked y'all this, but what y'all think? Is marriage worth it?
I mean, I think the tax benefits are great. So if you really want to get into it.
I'm still on the fence. Like, it looks nice. It can be nice, but it might not be. Like, I mean, I know Janelle said for tax benefits and whatnot, but I don't really know. Maybe.
Monique, I'm you're my spirit animal. I'm really feeling you because I still be on the fence about that too, like, because I've seen a lot of great couples. I've seen a lot of people be together for years and they never tied the knot. So I feel
I'm
you there.
I'm saying.
And you don't have to. That's the only gripe I have with the title of our podcast, is it's almost as if it's not a marriage, is it not worth it? But the way I think of marriage, I think if this committed relationship worth it? And I think most of the time it is.
Mm-hmm. See, I can get down with that, but we're literally asking of saying that I do part is worth it. Because I believe, I see the committed relationship. So I'm just like, that looks nice. I could do that. I don't have to have like that super I do portion of it. I could be down with that, but that marriage just,
yeah,
I don't know.
Now, see, I ain't gonna lie, I have another thing that irks me about it is the thing about prenups and stuff, and because, and what happens at the end of a marriage, because as a man, it's like, we can't never really have that option, because if I get, say I get married to somebody, a woman could be like, hey, I'm just not happy with you and want a divorce, and then she get half of everything, and then she get more of what I earn in the future, so it's like, first, I kinda, I don't know, what you think?
First of all, Kelly Clarkson, look into that divorce, and I never want to hear a man say that only men get screwed.
Oh, women get screwed too. I've seen that too.
Women get screwed more.
Wait, really?
Women get screwed more. No, I'm going to say it. They do. Because when we're in these scenarios in which men are like, well, I just owe you half my life. I gave you half my life. It's a lot of these like huge divorce and prenup settlements that when prenups get overturned and stuff, it's because they have legal precedent to prove that in the time of us signing, our lives have changed. I've given up my career for this person in certain aspects that they can prove. I've given up livelihood, like career and livelihood, due to having to be the primary person that they call if the kids get sick. Or his job decides they're going to move to Houston. We're moving to Houston regardless of my job. Like, those things matter. And so, like, it always irks me when people are like, men only are the only ones that get screwed with these prenups. Even if you got screwed, like, this woman gave her life to you. You weren't out here cleaning all these dishes like that to be saying that you were the primary breadwinner and you did all the dishes and you did the laundry and you cleaned up after the kids. If you can say that and she still walked with half, I will follow you through hell and proclaim that you are right. But rarely can I find a man who's ever been in that scenario.
But I've seen scenarios where the men have been there, been like, but they didn't even get the opportunity to do that. And a woman still cleaned them out for everything. I'm like, all she did was have their kid, and now he done got cleaned
all
out.
All she did was have her kid. Like, having a child isn't life-threatening.
I do, Gary, I do.
The mortality rate of death. See, this is the thing. We minimize the work that women commit to families as in all they did was had a kid. It is a major medical procedure, whether you have a C-section or not. You could die at any aspect of pregnancy from the time of an inception. If it's ectopic and goes into her fallopian tubes and bursts, she could die. To hemorrhaging after birth, she could die. But all she did was have his kids and she cleaned them out. God forbid.
Hey, okay, Dr. Janelle over here. Okay, but listen, you know, I don't know. Listen, when it happens, it'll happen. But listen, I just hope that we all find somebody that's going to ride with us for life, you know. There's nothing like that, you know, because I've had married couples on as well. And it's so beautiful. I can sit there watching them talking like Mo. I kind of get turned on. I'm like, that's amazing, you know. So I hope that whoever has my kid that, you know, we together for life, you know. Ain't no splitting up. We riding this thing out, you know. That's my mindset and all, you know. But, nevertheless, gotta get y'all on this. Y'all have an amazing podcast. In your own words, why do people need to subscribe and tap in with the Marriage Is Marriage Worth It podcast?
You need to tap in because you have two beautiful hostesses that are asking the questions that everybody has questioned.
And it's one of those things where it's just, you think you know what people and marriage mean, but when you listen to our guests that come on, you'll find a whole new side of what marriage actually means and what relationships will bring you. It's never a dull moment on the podcast.
Yes, that's real. Listen, these ladies from the Windy City came down and held it down with the brother in the Magical City on Liquor Talk. I want to thank you all. And also want to thank y'all for having me on y'all podcast as well. Whenever y'all want me to come back on and bless y'all podcast. Remember, I might be in Florida, but I'm just a DM away in hell. Your boy, I wouldn't mind coming to Chicago, you know what I'm saying? Come chop it up with y'all. Just not in the wintertime, though, you know. Because I'm a Florida man, and I don't do the cold. You feel me?
And I don't do Florida men.
Damn!
That's one thing you'll know. She's never been shy about saying that. every season, because, almost every episode.
Is it because of you see a Florida person in the news?
No, I just hate the state. Like, outside of Disney, I never want to go.
God damn. God damn. What did Florida do to you?
What did snow do to you?
Well, when you grew up in Florida, it's like, it's hard to get used to the snow. You feel me?
I understand that. And when you have the magical Windy City, why leave?
True. I mean, MJ ain't with the Bulls anymore, so I don't know, you know. Hey, I still want to come to Chicago, you know, try some of that pizza since everybody say deep dish pizza is the best, you know. Chicago makes the best deep dish pizza, so, hey. And also, I want to try Harold's Chicken because I keep hearing about that from Chicago people as well, so.
That is pretty good.
That is, though.
But over. But, ladies, I want to thank y'all for coming on Look at Talking. Thank y'all for having me on y'all podcast. It was fun, and we definitely got to do it. I hope we do it again.
It was nice talking to you.
Good, yeah.
And thanks thank you to, us. No problem, and thank you to listener for tapping in with Look at Talk, whether you tapped in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. And also, shout out to the studio where I'm doing this from. Shout out to Studio Max Orlando. Anybody in Orlando need to have events, weddings, parties, well, you name it. You need to come here and record. Studio Max Orlando, holla at my man Don. They'll take care of you. And also, shout out to everybody tapped in on the radio station as well on WSXJ 97.3 Sunshine Jams. Until the next time, we out this thing. Y'all deuces.